You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Monday here in the North Shore Drive podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter. We talk about the Steelers' wild week that was last week with Ray Fittipaldo. What is this new front office's true direction? We'll talk about that and a lot more here on the North Shore Drive podcast. From the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Chris Carter. Let's get into it.
You are now listening to the North Shore Drive podcast, a show on all things Pittsburgh sports from the writers of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, hosted by Christopher Carter.
Hello and welcome to the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I'm your host, Chris Carter, here with Ray Fittipaldo, one of our great Steelers beat writers, and we're here talking all things Steelers today after what was a wild week of free agency with the Steelers. We'll get into all the levels there. As always, you can find the show on your favorite podcasting app down on YouTube. Like this video if you enjoy it. Subscribe to this channel to get all of the daily content that comes out from all of our Pittsburgh sports writers, as well as the Monday, Wednesday, Friday episodes of the North Shore Drive podcast. Ray. I talked about this with Brian. What was the most surprising move of the week? And then I feel like I asked that question too early because then everything else is flipped upside down. I think I'd say we recorded Thursday and I asked him that question. And then Kenny Pickett was traded. And then Justin Fields was signed. And then it's like, well, I think that would take the answer for that situation. But when you look at the aggression or the non-conservative approach that the Steelers front office has taken here, what does that tell you about the direction that this organization is going with Omar Khan and Andy Weigel?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're going for it. They saw an opportunity to get a Super Bowl winning quarterback, somebody who was obviously has more pedigree than Kenny Pickett, more experience, and flat out better than Kenny Pickett. And they decided, hey, we're going to move on from Kenny. We think we know what he's going to be. Let's go for it with Russell Wilson. We've got the defense. We've got some young pieces on offense. Let's see if we can go win now. So I think being very aggressive in trades, even their signings. You know, Patrick Queen. I know it wasn't a huge contract, but it was the biggest free agent contract in franchise history. So when you combine everything, you know, the aggressiveness in the trades and the aggressiveness in free agency, I think it speaks to the facts that Arthur Rooney wants wins, and he wants wins in the playoffs now. And I think Mike Tomlin, shares those feelings.
I certainly think so too. I mean, Art Rooney's talked about, like, you know, it's time to move on from not getting playoff wins, and part of that is making moves to improve your roster right now. And part of it's also acknowledging, like, you know, where the Steelers were coming from. Like, you know, the past few years, you know, they lost a lot of key players, and it wasn't easy to replace those key players unless you made aggressive moves that made you potentially lose other young players that you were developing. So there's a bit of caution there, but I think the Steelers have navigated through those waters now. They're no longer in a place where they have to, like, if they spend on the wrong guy, they might not be able to keep Alex Highsmith. Like, you know, that's out of the gate right now. And now you can look at it and say, okay, what's the biggest things that they need to address? And so they said quarterback. They brought in a veteran in Russell Wilson. According to reports, Kenny Pickett wasn't feeling that. They weren't trying to have any controversy over this, especially with the way Kenny Pickett played. He goes out. They go and get another young guy that's developing around, you know, and can kind of replace the type of player that Kenny Pickett was as far as age-wise and being a young quarterback that, hey, if you develop him, great, you have your franchise quarterback. If you don't, guess what? You spent a what's going to be a sixth round pick in the 2025 draft on him, because that's the other thing with it's a usage conditional, it's a usage component to the conditional pick. So unless Russell Wilson gets beat out by Justin Fields, which I don't think he will, and Mike Tomlin, it's already been clear that Russell Wilson is QB1, or unless Russell Wilson gets hurt and is out for a long period of time, Justin Fields isn't going to meet that, and he's going to be a sixth round pick. And so I look at all those and I see the Steelers are saying, like, hey, we are out of the end of the last era. We're out of the shadow of the finishing of Ben Roethlisberger's career. Now it's time to start creating that next core of guys that's going to be revered for what they do for the Steelers.
Yeah, and, you know, I think the saying, this is not your father's Steelers, speaks to that. You know, moving on from a first-round pick, the fastest they've moved on from a first-round pick, I think, in 30-some years. Jermaine Stephens was the last guy, I think. He was drafted 96. He was gone by 98. You know, and Chris, we can also get into this, but he's showing no allegiances to Kevin Colbert's personnel. Quickly is he moving on from some of these guys? You could point to Kendrick Green, Kevin Dotson on the offensive line, quarterback Kenny Pickett, the entire quarterback room, you know, Mitch Trubisky, which turns out looks like a really bad signing. Deontay Johnson as well. Yeah. I mean, listen, Kevin knew the talent there, but he turned into a distraction here in the final stages of his career. So, I don't think it speaks bad poorly on Kevin Colbert. I just think when you're a guy like Omar and this is now your team and you're running it, you want to put your stamp on it. And it's certainly a different way than what Kevin Colbert had done. And I think it could be good. You know, I think it's maybe a little bit more bold, maybe a little bit more risk, but when you have TJ Watt in his prime, Minka in his prime, I think there's that hunger to finally get over the top and to, you know, make a playoff run. And I think, you know, by getting guys like Queen and Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, I think they're setting themselves up to perhaps do that this year.
I certainly do too. I think that they're putting themselves in a position where the quarterback room, it'll be completely different in experience, in talent, and also in tone. You know, we talked about how, like, you know, with the Kenny Pickett situation and him not feeling, you know, Mike Tomlin says, you know, he doesn't believe in having hostages. He wants volunteers. And in that situation, we've seen it, like a guy like Steven Nelson or anyone that kind of, you know, starts to have a fuss about what's going on with contract wise, that the Steelers are like, hey, we'll find another answer. And Kenny Pickett was a guy who, you know, I remember at the start of the season, Ray, they called him Big Ken. Like, they were trying to pump him up. They put his locker next to Cam Hayward so that he could become a future leader for the organization. And like you said, to give up on him after 2 years, the only other, the most recent version of that is being a Jermaine Stephens as a first round pick to be given up on that fast. I think it shows the Steelers are like, look, we can acknowledge our mistakes, even, you know, whether they were ours personal or someone else that was our predecessors, but you have to acknowledge them and you have to act on them to move forward. And I think that's what you're seeing the Steelers front office really do.
Yeah, I think organizationally too, I think the Steelers maybe learned a lesson here as well. If you look at it, you know, not really having anyone in place to take over for Ben Roethlisberger once he retired, you know, looking back, you could probably say it was a reach to get Kenny Pickett. I think a lot of people felt, you know, Kenny Pickett was the best quarterback in that draft, but he probably wasn't worthy of a first round draft pick. So when you reach in the first round and you miss on the quarterback, it could potentially do some damage to your team in the short term, maybe even the long term if you don't handle it right. But again, going back to them just cutting ties with him, you know, I think Kenny acting out and being difficult was probably, in the end, the best thing for the Steelers, right? I mean, they rid themselves of a player they knew wasn't going to be their guy this year, and they turned the page to a new chapter with Russell Wilson. And I know we'll get into this in OTAs and in training camp and stuff, but Chris, would you be surprised if they have a package or two for Justin Fields, given his athleticism?
Absolutely not.
Yeah,
that makes a lot of sense. Why not do that?
Yeah, I mean, this could be like slash you know, 2.0 again, you know, 30 some years later. So lots of intrigue heading into the spring and the summer here. But I think undoubtedly they are a better quarterbacks room now than they were a month ago. And when you don't have unhappy players on your team, when you want players, you have players who want to be here, I think that just organically makes your team better as well.
I want to talk about more aspects of this, especially with the quarterback room with Ray Fittipaldo here. And I think that we can dive in a lot of other factors here. There's still so much to talk about. We'll do that here on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. But first, we want to remind you, this show is also brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar. Mike's Beer Bar is the best bar in all of Pittsburgh. Go to Mike's Beer Bar today, and you can experience 500 different available beers. 300 of those beers are from the local area, and 8 of those local beers are available on tap. And they have 20 different TV screens that you can tune into. And heck, for March Madness, if you're a Duquesne Dukes fan and you can't make it to Omaha, Nebraska, and you want to go root on the Dukes against BYU, there's no better place than to do so at Mike's Beer Bar, who's Mike's also a big Duquesne fan. So go to Mike's Beer Bar today, this upcoming Thursday, when Duquesne takes on BYU in the first round of the NCAA tournament. For the first time in 1977, they're making it there, and it's a great way to enjoy it at Mike's Beer Bar, the best bar in all of Pittsburgh. And when you get there, tell them Chris sent you.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Back here on the North Shore Drive podcast, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Chris Carter, Ray Fittipaldo. Ray, it's clear that this was a complete upheaval of the quarterback situation, even a reset or so. But I think it's an interesting aspect of this reset is the two guys that they've gotten now to take things forward. You went and got a veteran in Russell Wilson who – it's obvious with all the guys that the Steelers have been trying to, the younger guys who have, you know, were still trying to prove that they were a franchise quarterback. Mitch Trubisky was trying to prove that. Mason Rudolph, you know, didn't really have the chance to prove that. Kenny Pickett wanted to prove that. All those guys wanted to prove that. Russell Wilson has been that. That's not a question anymore as far as, you know, what, you know, who he is. So you have a guy who can reset the tone of what the quarterback position is in Pittsburgh. To me, I feel like that's a big part of this move here is to have him and have a young person behind him who can pick up the mantle of what he, or the, you know, the status of what he established, reestablishes for the Steelers. And I think it shows that, like, you know, Ben Roethlisberger's status of a franchise quarterback, there was no connection between him and Kenny Pickett. He retired. Kenny Pickett was hired. You know, there's obviously, you know, not a connection between him and Mason Rudolph. Mitch Trubisky came after Ben Roethlisberger too. So I look at this, and I think this is an opportunity for the Steelers to kind of reset and try to make sure that whatever happens with Russell Wilson, it either carries over to Justin Fields or to whoever. Like, if they can find any positivity, they can use that to build into, hey, this is what we want out of a quarterback. This is what we expect out of the next guy, and make it more of a streamline of getting an understanding of how Steelers quarterbacks are supposed to uphold their standards.
Yeah, I mean, listen, quarterback – it's such an important position on a football team because not only do you have the ball in your hands, 90% of the time, but you are the leader of that football team. And I know it was only one news conference, but Russell was so positive. He knew how to command that room. And you just get the feeling he would know how to command a locker room too. I know there was stuff that went on in Denver, but he seems like he's going to be a guy, given that he's already met with a lot of the leadership guys. He's got relationships with Watt and Hayward and so on and so forth. Chris, it was such a stark contrast to what we saw from their captain late last season when Kenny was moping around the locker room like a baby, right? And, you know, giving terse answers when people asked him what he would learn by sitting on the bench, and he said no. I mean, that moping, I think, really turned a lot of people off in that locker room. I was thinking about this when Russell Wilson mentioned that he went to dinner with Cam Hayward. Kenny's locker is right next to Cam. Connor Hayward same draft class as Kenny. You know, those two guys came into the league together. I just get the feeling that Kenny's actions at the end of the season really ticked a lot of the people in that locker room off. And I think a lot of the people were glad, to see him go in the end, because it's one thing to not be playing and not to feel like you're a part of it, right? It's another thing to outwardly mope and to not do what's best for the team. So, again, I know there was a lot of baggage with Russell in Denver, but, you know, he won that press conference on Friday. He was really impressive, and he came across as a captain type of a leader.
And that's what, and the other thing about this is that you set what that leader is supposed to be like. You know, I think that Ben Roethlisberger, he was a great player, but he wasn't, you know, he was rarely the captain's captain. You know, that Cam Hayward was the face of the team. You know, Troy Polamalu was one of those guys. You know, they had guys that took that mantle, but Ben Roethlisberger, he was always the quarterback. He was always the leader in just because he was the quarterback. But it wasn't always that he was the guy that set the tone, that everyone got behind because he was the loudest or he was the person that said the right things at the right times. Russell Wilson can be that, and he has been that before. Like, he's a guy that knows how to handle those situations. And part of it's also, you know, managing relationships, right? Like, Ben Roethlisberger had obvious tiffs with multiple people, not just players, but also coaches during his time with the Steelers. And tiffs and disagreements and tension is going to happen when you have an organization with 56 plus players and a coaching staff and a training staff. That kind of stuff happens. But letting it seep into, you know, the work and letting it become, that's something that the Steelers don't want. And I think that's what they saw with Kenny Pickett, with Russell Wilson. No, cut that out. We don't want any more of that. And now Russell Wilson's a guy who, as soon as Justin Fields was traded for, guess what he was doing? Welcome to the team. Maybe I missed it. I didn't think he'd do that for Russell Wilson. And you know, and I think that if he had, maybe things look a little bit different here. But to your point, and this is why I was asking about the reset and the culture reset of what it means to be quarterback for the Steelers. What it means to be a leading quarterback for the Steelers. Yeah. That's what they want. And I think that Russell Wilson gives them a chance at having a veteran who can at least set that tone for a year. And then if he moves on because of his 1-year deal and he wants to make money and the Steelers don't want to pay him, maybe Justin Fields learns that from him, or, you know, sees how to do it that way and says, hey, now I'm going to step up and try to do that next year.
Yeah. And listen, one point on Ben before we get back to Russ. He was a great leader in his own right, number one,
right,
because he won, but number two, because of his toughness and everything he did.
He led by example a lot more than anything else.
He was a lead by example guy more than a lead by words guy. People gravitate towards that type of leadership, I think, just as much as somebody who's really good with their words too. But getting back to Russ, it seems like it's natural for him. You know, Patrick Queen talked about this too. You know, he's stepping into, a defense with T.J. Watt and Cam Hayward. He says, I'm the quarterback of the defense. I got to go in there and lead from day one. And I think Russell Wilson feels the exact same way. I know the offense is younger, but there are guys like Pat Freiermuth, guys who have been around, you know, 3, 4, 5 years. Russell's going to come in, and he's going to take the reins of this offense and this football team. And I think it's something that was desperately needed based on the way the last couple of seasons unfolded.
I'm right with you there. I want to talk about the Patrick Queen situation with you as well, because I think that that's another part of him and Deshaun Elliott, what they bring as veterans to the Steelers defense that already has that unit has the leaders. But what do they bring? We'll talk about that next here on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Chris Carter, Ray Fittipato, stick with us. We'll be right back. Back here on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Chris Carter, Ray Fittipato, talking all things Steelers. Ray, let's talk about Patrick Queen and his addition here and what you saw in his first press conference talking to Pittsburgh media as a guy who, he's what, 24 years old, already has plenty of experience in the NFL, and is one of the better linebackers in the league. What was the sense that you got from what he's going to be bringing to the table when you saw him speak last week?
Yeah, I thought he was really good, and I think a lot of people wanted to know, like, the Roquan Smith angle, right, because Patrick Queen came into this league as a 20-year-old rookie out of LSU, and the Ravens asked him to be that guy right away. And it really wasn't until Roquan Smith was acquired in that trade with the Bears that Patrick Queen actually settled into maybe more of a secondary role, but he actually became a much better football player. And, you know, Patrick was – he was upfront about it. He said, yeah, listen, I wasn't vocal enough when I was a young player, and I really learned from Roquan how to handle a defense and how to be that guy. So now 4 years later, you know, a couple of years later after, you know, teaming up with Roquan, he steps into a situation where the Steelers want him to be that guy. And I think he's better off for it. Learning from a guy like Roquan Smith is, you know, that guy has a chance to go to the Hall of Fame one day. So for Queen to you know, gain all that experience behind him, now he comes into a situation. He's going to be the three down linebacker, the green dot guy for the Steelers. And I think it's a chance for him to, you know, reestablish himself as that kind of a guy. And I think he did that the last couple of years with Smith, but now he's going to be the focal point of the middle of that defense. And I think that means something to him.
I think it certainly does. And I think it means a lot to the Steelers. They've been trying to find that guy since Ryan Shazier. They drafted Devin Bush to be that guy. They were hoping that, you know, they were hoping that with the platoon of veterans last year that they'd have that guy. And, you know, Cole Holcomb's still hurt. Quan Alexander got hurt and is a free agent. And Landon Roberts, I think, is a good piece. He can be an example setter, but Landon Roberts isn't the every down guy that can do all the things that Patrick Queen does. Landon Roberts is very solid. He can stuff the run. He can be physical at the point of attack and do a lot of the little things right. But Patrick Queen is a guy who can do that and more and be a leader. And now you're getting back to having leadership at all levels of your defense. You have TJ Watt and Cam Hayward up front, guys that are obviously leaders for the Steelers. Now you have Patrick Queen at linebacker connecting that to make it with Patrick in the secondary. And that gives you a centerpiece to your defense that you haven't had since 2017. That's how long it's been since they've had a guy of that caliber on this roster. And at a position that when you look back throughout Steelers history, you look at through all the Steelers, you know, Super Bowl teams that even made the Super Bowl and didn't win, they always had a pretty good to great off-ball linebacker who set the tone in the middle of the defense.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think Patrick Queen has a chance to become that guy again, you know, another James Ferrier maybe. You know, that would be huge for the Steelers. And, you know, we've talked about this last Monday, Chris, before all this news happened 1 week ago, filling in the pieces on free agency so you're not in a position in the draft where you have to go out and get a three-down linebacker, right? So now they're set up perfectly. Instead of drafting a linebacker in round one or round two to be your starter, you could draft a depth guy in the middle rounds that you can groom to be a Landon Roberts replacement. So it's just – it was very smart roster management as well. I know they went out and spent a lot of money on Queen, but from a roster building perspective, it makes a ton of sense. You know, I know people are waiting for the other shoe to drop on offense, and they got some holes they got to fill there before the draft, but – if you just look at what he did on defense, getting Dante Jackson, getting Queen, getting Deshaun Elliott, I think a really good job to fortify your strongest unit, and then you take care of the offense in the draft, and it's a great draft for offense, stacked on offensive linemen, stacked at receiver. So they've set themselves up really well to take advantage of a deep offensive draft.
And look, we'll get back into the draft soon, but like, there's still just so much to examine here. We still haven't even talked about Dante Jackson, what he's going to bring to the Steelers defense, Deshaun Elliott, what he's going to do. But I think what you're seeing is the Steelers are bringing in a lot of guys who I think are locker room guys. And they've done this in recent years too. Patrick Peterson's a locker room guy. You know, like they've been bringing in more guys who can help reset and say, hey, we need adults in the room who are going to set the tone for everyone to follow who's still finding their way. Like, you know, a guy like a George Pickens. And it makes you wonder who might they add to the wide receiver. They added Van Jefferson, but like, let's be real, that's another kind of like Allen Robinson type of addition right there. They could use another more help there. But I think when you look at guys like Russell Wilson, Russell Wilson's a quarterback who's dealt with big name wide receivers before, who's dealt with guys with egos and has, you know, or and not even receivers. You know, that guy played, was teammates with Marshawn Lynch. So, like, you know, he's been able to handle that before. If you're the Steelers, you look towards leadership like that to reset the room, and then also to bolster what they did on defense, because again, the defense has the leadership. There's no question that those guys know who to follow, know who's setting the tone. And now you add another guy who can also set the tone there. And again, reset your linebacker position, so that becomes an asset to you rather than a liability or just something that you're just trying to work around. Just so many levels here of what the Steelers have done that I think that kind of signal like, hey, they're putting the pieces together to be a more complete roster than they've been in a long time.
Yeah, and one note before we go here, Mike Williams, of the formerly of the Chargers, will be in town for a visit this week. So that's potentially one answer at receiver. He's got a couple of visits set up this week. A lot of speculation about Brandon Ayuk and possibly a trade there. I know he had some words after they lost the Super Bowl about maybe not being happy there. So if not Mike Williams, we'll see if Omar can maybe swing big and land a trade for Brandon Ayuk as well.
Certainly, receivers is a position that they need answers at, and getting a veteran would be a positive there. We'll continue to explore all the angles there from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, post-gazette.com, to read all of our work here from our entire team. But of course, you can always find this show and all of our podcasts on your favorite podcasting apps and on YouTube. Like this video if you enjoy it. Subscribe to this channel to get all of the Post-Gazette's podcast content. There's a lot more coming your way this week. If you want to get ready for March Madness, Noah Hiles and I will have our Pitt mailbag still on our Tuesday. So tune in for that for sure, as we talk about, because I'm sure there's a lot of people that got questions about why Pitt didn't make the tournament, and then also other questions about what's moving forward as Pitt football resumes practice, and then of course all other things that might be happening with the Steelers. Who knows, Ray? They might trade for Jamar Chase. Well, at this rate, we just don't know what they're gonna do out here. Justin Jefferson, something crazy. Who knows? Omar Khan set in any tone, but you can read all of that in the Pittsburgh Post. Because we're back Wednesday with more here on the North Shore Drive podcast.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all the sports coverage from the Post-Gazette that we have to offer, visit post-gazette.com.